Clyde, this is Marty Armstrong. Return your call.
Oh, hi, Marty. Yeah, I spoke to a number of people, but, you know, everybody's heading for cover now that the feds are involved. But, I mean, alright, you kept me in touch here, so I'll read you a transcript of what Fred Bogart said to me today.
Okay.
But you never heard this.
No, it's fine.
So, the CFTC is taking a look at what's going on. So, it's all well and good, but the basic question is, where's the manipulation? What I see is people buying a lot of silver, not through COMEX. You have to be pretty stupid to use COMEX. So I walk up to the counter, he's talking about the cash market here, and I buy an ounce of silver for $5.75, and I do that, say, 200 million times. Is that legal? It's true, I'd be speculating, but is there a law against speculating in silver? So I then ask him, well, what about people moving lots of silver to London? So, yeah, we're doing that. Anybody who's short silver for London delivery and long COMEX stocks has to do that. And the reverse is true. I do what is good for my position. We're arbitrages. Yeah, but what about the swap rates going negative? What about the backwardation? I don't know how that happened. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, we're big in the silver business, but as for how the swap rates got that way, I don't know. So have you heard any more about this legal action? Well, we looked into it. But we think it's breaking down. They've got nothing. At the end of the day, I'm a numbers player. You can say whatever you want, but I play by my numbers. Right now, I see support around 545 and resistance around 585. As to why and the wherefore, I leave that to the economists and their gurus. End of interview.
Well, it's interesting. He gave you 200 million, which is what I am told out of Geneva is 200 million ounces.
Exactly. That's why I read it to you.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And he denies, you know, any kind of, you know, knowledge of how the backwardation occurred or, yeah, so he says we moved some stocks to London. That's true, but, you know, we're short in London, so we need to move some stocks over there, he claims.
Yeah, but see, that I can tell you. You know, 3 cent spread to take it over, remelt it, because you have to change the seals on a lot of stuff too.
Right.
They're not acceptable in London for COMEX.
Right.
So it's got to be remelted and assayed again.
Mm.
You can't tell me the 3 cents is profitable. And I've seen some, you know, some, I mean, the economists don't believe, they said it's only profitable for a manipulator. And if you're going to move the stock from London, and you're going to, that's fine, and you're arbitraging, well then silver shouldn't have moved.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're going to sell 200 million ounces in London and buy 200 million ounces here, then silver shouldn't have gone up at all.
No, I agree.
So,
some of these things doesn't add up, you know.
Yeah, no, I know, it's,
Anyway, the London Bullion Market Association is thinking of putting out some kind of statement saying, well, you know, we're aware of the situation, but everything is, you know, like by the book over here, there's no problems. We haven't seen the statement yet, but apparently that's what my guys in London tell me.
Well, what I've...
The Bank of England won't comment, obviously. We contacted them as well in London.
Yeah, they report only to the Bank of England.
All right.
Now, the question here is that's fine. They report what is unallocated.
Yeah.
Not allocated.
Right. Yeah,
and it's a system that is as bad as the Japanese in the sense that, you know, the government comes out and says the unperforming loans in the banking industry is only $120 billion. The Nikkei Shimbun comes out, gives its own number, says we think it's more like 700.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so consequently, everybody's afraid of the Japanese banks. Everybody's downgrading them because nobody knows the real number.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what I would like to see out of this, I mean, I've been, you know, forced. I'm completely flat, I got no positions, and I can't even trade the damn market.
Mm.
They have succeeded in stopping the only person that would trade against them.
Mm.
You know, so they got what they wanted out of this.
Mm.
What I would like to see out of this is a level playing field.
Yeah.
I want to see London be forced to report everything that's there,
yeah,
allocated and unallocated.
Yeah.
Then we won't have any more Sumitomo deals.
Yeah.
We won't have anything else like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't trade off of these numbers.
No.
I know it's all BS.
Yeah.
And so I stand up against them and I'll trade, you know, regardless of what kind of, you know, PR bullshit they put out.
Yeah.
I go by what I know.
Yeah.
And the problem is that I don't want to see a whole bunch of retail people get slaughtered here.
Yeah.
And that's who always gets it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and, I mean, you know, I'm a big boy. I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I mean, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the rumors that I lost 100 million ounces, $100 million, I mean, going off to Revco. I mean, Tom and I were laughing at that. We tried to figure out how many contracts that would have been on 40 cents, and that was 50,000 contracts.
Yeah, I know.
If I sold 50,000 contracts, I think silver would have been at $4.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's half the open interest of the exchange. I mean, making up this kind of bullshit is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just really, I mean, you know what's going on.
Back to Merrill Lynch again. I said, well, and what about the 6 million number? And they said, well, you know, actually, I spoke to Ted Arnold's boss here in New York, and he said, well, you know, we think we broke this news last year or whatever, but we're going to shut up now because, you know, the feds are involved and we don't want to say anymore. So, but I mean, I think in some ways Ted Arnold is, you know, I mean, he circulates some of the stuff to all the retail clients, you know, 6 million out short and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Yes. I'll be straight with you. The CFTC called me.
Yeah. Yeah, you said that this morning.
And so, I mean, I know what's going on. I mean, they got the large trade reports.
Yeah.
They know I'm not short.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, they asked me for help. I mean, what could I recommend to them? And I told them, the same thing I told you. I said, we got to stop these manipulations.
Mm.
I said, you guys did a great job getting all the, you know, the Delaware to have to report and all this other kind of stuff.
Mm.
I said, now you got to work on London.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you what Fred said, you know. He calmed down, but he was pretty agitated when I first spoke to him last week, but he's pretty calm today, but...
Well, he gave you exactly the number that I get from London.
That's what I thought. I mean, you know, he says, yeah. So what if we got 200 million ounces, you know? So what if, if we moved all this stock to London? But by the way, you know, I don't know anything about the backwardation, how that occurred. Don't look at me.
I think Chris Lovell will be going forward.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, there are a lot of attorneys now calling him from all over the place.
Any idea when? So maybe next week or something?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I told him...
I called him today, but he was out of the office.
Yeah, he's not going to give any comments yet.
No. I spoke to him one day. He was quite friendly, and he said, I haven't filed a suit. I'm not close enough yet to doing so, but I'll certainly fax over some information once we get a suit, on the record.
I'll tell you what happened.
And, you go.
Was that I think he was all ready to go.
Yeah.
And he even told me, we're going to probably file this thing Friday if I can get it done in time, otherwise maybe it's going to be Monday.
Yeah.
And then all the journalists started calling him.
Yeah.
And started giving him names of who they thought it was.
Mm.
He calls me, says, you know, what the heck's going on here? Now they're saying it's Tudor Jones. You know. I said, look, I don't think it's Paul Tudor Jones.
Mm.
What can I tell you? He says, they're throwing all these names out. And then what happens is he has a legal obligation that if there is probable cause for somebody, he has to name them.
Yeah.
He can't just name, you know, Fibro if there's probable cause on these other companies too.
Yeah, so you have to go back to the drawing board.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Alright, and I don't know when it's going to come out, but
yeah,
it's been raised to such a level at this point that it's inevitable.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, look, I don't know where everything is. Let the dust settle, in my opinion. You know, see what the, you know, I know the CFTC is talking to him back and forth now, too.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think they're just trying to let the dust settle and see what's true, what's not true, because just about everybody has been named, you know, except for maybe Hillary Clinton. You know? And, I mean, I don't have any, you know, hardcore evidence as to who it is, other than what I can say went directly, you know, with Tom on the floor and with Fibro coming at me directly. And, yeah. And posting EFPs and so on. I know that was Fibro. Mm. Okay, so that's all I know. Now, I don't think it's Fibro for its own account. Because yeah. We're talking at least $1 billion here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, 200 million ounces is $1 billion. I mean, you know, Fibro's not going to put $1 billion up for this.
Right, and it's, and, you know, and Edmund Safra didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, Republic Bank couldn't put $1 billion into this thing on an undisclosed basis.
No, right.
And they're not going to let those bullion guys you know, do that.
No.
I think, you know, I do know that Fibro was going through them a lot. But, you know, and so, you know, I think they maybe tagged along, no doubt. All the selling they did, I don't know who it was for. You know, I would say maybe he had a thousand or two himself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think much more than that.
Yeah, I contacted some guys at Credit Suisse and I, you know, asked them about the vaults and I just got some nervous laughter, basically. And they didn't.
They wouldn't reveal
anything. They wouldn't say anything, no. But, you know, I know some of these guys and if that was totally untrue, they probably would have told me, which means you're probably pretty close to the mark. They just, like, wouldn't confirm nor deny.
Well, like I said, I talked to a refiner. He told me he was approached by Jay Aaron to remelt the stuff.
Yeah. So you're probably right. Morgan and...
It's J.P. Morgan, Credit Suisse.
Credit Suisse is sitting on it in their vault.
He normally stores things. I mean, he's one of the bigger refiners in Europe, and he told me, Marty, I know it's there because I can't, he's having difficulty getting storage space.
Yeah, right.
So,
right,
I don't know how we break the thing open.
Well, you know, you just got to keep going around the traps, I guess. That's all I'm doing, but, you know, I'm just trying to keep a low profile on it. We ran a couple of stories, but, you know, just the other day we... you know, I mean,
Now, look, Clive, you're the only guy I trust here. I mean, you know what's really going on. You know I'm out of the market. I'm frustrated because I can't even do anything at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have any X to grind, and I'm not out for the big headline or anything because I'm only writing for a wire service, but, you know, I mean, people read Reuters a lot. I don't know whether you guys see it or not. But,
yeah.
I'm going to talk to you guys every day, whereas some of these Wall Street Journal guys can burn you off and they don't have to talk to you for another 6 months, you know.
Well, see, the other...
I'll tell you,
I know, be very careful about this. It's the Journal guy I don't like.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this guy, what I was also told from London, and I don't know if this is true, but I suspect it is, to be very careful with this guy, Jeff Christian. That he is somebody who rumps up stock as well, you know, I mean, stuff like this as well.
Well, he's been very bullish on silver for some time, for some months. His reports to his clients have been pretty bullish. And, you know, they've been actually quite, I saw some of their stuff to their clients the other day, and they absolutely rubbished the idea of a case and a syndicate, and they say, oh, no, it's all in the fundamentals, you know.
Yeah, and
no such thing as a
syndicate. And Fibro is his client. He even told me that Fibro, he's personally friends with these guys.
Well, you don't forget that Christian came out of Goldman Sachs a few years ago, too. He knows all Goldman Sachs people.
Yeah, and so this is, and I was told from London that they were on the verge of having an article in the Journal that was going to trump this thing up and say it's going to $7 to $9.
Yeah.
And that they were, you know, it was close to being published, and that's what they were telling everybody openly over in Europe.
Mm.
And after the first of the year, you know, we're going to take this thing up. We're going to get a big write-up in a journal out of this. So that must have been Jeff Christian.
Yeah.
Jeff Christian's the one that gave my name to everybody.
Oh, really?
Yes. He called me, and you know, saying, oh, you're just saying this stuff because you're short. I said, look, you know, I published this last August. Everybody knows about this. What the hell are you talking about?
Mm.
You know, and he goes, well, you know, this is all bullshit. I said, well, I don't think it is. My sources tell me this stuff's over there.
Now, you know that these guys at CPM Group, in addition to being consultants, have just recently started a little hedge fund of their own.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with it, but I think they got it off the ground late last year. I don't know what they're doing with it, but anyway.
Interesting. So, anyhow, then he tells me, well, the Wall Street Journal wants to do a story on this, and I'm going to tell them to call you.
Mm.
And then that's when I get this call from Aaron.
Yeah, I know Aaron, yeah. He's based out in Chicago. He used to be here. He's only a young guy.
And he had a real chip on his shoulder. And he said to me that, first of all, he said to me, you know, that I own New York Republic Securities. I said, you know, where, you know, I said, this is the second time I've heard this.
Yeah, I keep telling you, somebody went around the market and kept identifying you with Republic. It was quite weird. I told you this already.
And I said to him, I said, no, I do not.
Mm.
So he goes, well, what proportion do you own?
Mm.
I said, I don't own any proportion. I don't own a single share. Well, are you in a joint venture with him? I said, look, this is a wholly owned subsidiary of Republic National Bank. I got an account there. That's it.
Mm.
You know? I said, go check it out yourself.
Mm.
And then he was like, saying, well, this story about the lawyers, how do I know this is not a false rumor that you're starting?
Mm.
You know, who's the lawyer? And I said, look, I was asked not to give the name.
Yeah, and, but I mean, you're all right.
And let me finish. So then he goes, well, that could be very easy cover. I said, well, look, I'm sorry. You know, I don't know, you know, what's going on right now. And you know, I'm not giving you any names. I'm sorry. That's it.
Yeah.
So he figures out, he hits on Chris Lovell.
Mm.
But when he calls Chris Lovell, he tells Chris Lovell I gave him his name, which I did not.
Mm.
Then he calls me back and he goes, yeah, well, I spoke to Chris Lovell. I said, where'd you get that name? He says, well, lucky guess.
Mm.
So he's not playing straight with me at all.
Yeah.
And so I just don't trust him. I don't know what his up to, if he was the guy that was just about ready to run this big story on silver or not.
Mm.
But he's, you know, I just don't trust him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, he tries to play hardball for a good headline and a good story, you know, but the thing is, he doesn't have to work with all you guys the next day like we do on the wires, you know, I mean, you know, I talked to Tom, I talked to all these guys.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was threatening me. He says, well, if you want the heat off of you, give me some of the other names that you saw. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, all right. All right, Matty. Anyway, I just thought I'd let you know what Fred was up to here, what he thought.
Well, he gave me the right number, exactly what I was told.
Yeah, no, that's what intrigued me, too.
Yeah.
And, because I've heard that number other places, too, you know. So he thinks he's found a bottom here at 545, by the look of it. Around 540 or whatever, anyway.
Well, the lawsuit is going to come out. I don't know when just yet. My advice to them was to, just to, you know, let the dust settle a little bit.
Mm.
I do know they've been talking to somebody else, and I do know that somebody else told them they know absolutely unequivocally who it is. And
yeah.
I mean, Chris did not tell me, and I don't know, but he says he knows yet from a source. Somebody else has told him he knows exactly who it is, and so I don't know. I said, well, that's the $100 million question. You're the only guy I can answer because I don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Fiber won't say anything. Tiger won't say anything. You can't even get in the back door there. So, you know, I mean, all I'm telling you is what Fred says.
Yeah.
But, Fred's using that number. It's quite funny.
Well, I told Lovell that you were the only guy that I thought was straight.
I appreciate that.
And I told him to be careful of the journal.
Yeah, because he sounded, when I spoke to Chris, he sounded a bit worried on Monday because he'd had all the smaller media calling him, and he said he'd never had so much media attention, so he was just sounded a bit worried, so I figured he was going to lie low for a day or two.
Well, yeah, I think what screwed it up is that people were calling not just for an interview, they were giving him suggestions as to who they heard it was.
Yeah.
And like I said, everybody but Hillary Clinton. And maybe she's involved, too. I don't know.
That's a good one. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Bye. Sean?
Yes.
This is Marty Armstrong returning your call.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just wanted to be in touch. We met briefly at the Comex dinner.
Yeah, right.
And said hello. And I actually was down at your conference, the one that Margaret Thatcher spoke at.
Oh.
A couple, I guess that's going back almost a year and a half now.
Yeah.
With Bill as well, so I kind of bumped into you there as well. Just wanted to be in touch and say hello. Tell you,
well, you haven't heard the rumors. It's supposed to be you and me against Fibro. We're out to kill Fibro.
I mean, this stuff is just flying around.
Oh,
like,
I know. Isn't it ridiculous?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, such is life, you know.
Yeah, I know. They're spreading around. I'm sure 12,000. Here I am flat because I can't friggin' trade.
Right.
They got me in the middle of this thing, and I think it's exactly where the hell they wanted me.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that, and that's what happens, too. You know, I worked at J. Aaron for several years. I quoted gold there and silver as well. And what happens is you become active in a marketplace, and after a certain amount of time, no matter where the market's moving, you're always the guy that's doing it.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes along with some other territory, but it's just one of those facts that, you know, I guess you have to live with after a while.
Well, the thing that pisses me off is that everybody knows it's being squeezed.
Right.
There isn't anybody that doesn't know it.
No, that's absolutely correct.
You know, and they're trying to say that, oh, you know, I'm making all this up because I'm short.
That's right.
You know, I mean, come off it here, you know?
No, that's absolutely, I mean, there's no doubt about it. That, you know, it is it's an organized, and you can see the way it's being done in the forward market and the options. Everything's being kind of basically put together as one big, massive structure.
Right.
You know, all of the intentions of squeezing the metal, without a doubt. There's no doubt about that. You know, how that all flushes out, and, you know, I think it's been curious, you know, it's been interesting the way they've been able to manage to do it in the sense that they've done most of it from the London marketplace.
Yeah.
To avoid COMEX, to avoid all the whatever regulatory bodies that may, you know, kind of come in and inquire exactly what's going on in the exchange, what they've obviously done in the past. And so with London being a little bit more nebulous as far as, you know, what you can and cannot do, as the PGM market, as a matter of fact, found out earlier in this year, I guess, you know, mid last year, you know, it gets pretty murky as far as, you know, exactly, you know, who governs that marketplace.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
I don't think anybody does.
No, exactly. So, you know, it's fairly crafty the way they've kind of built the position. And the PGMs last year, I mean, the forward market basically broke down when this happened. When platinum went to $500 overnight in Australia,
yeah,
and in the East, there was no forward market.
Mm-hmm.
The market basically just stopped. And silver forwards are being quoted still at 100 basis point spread, but really legitimately they should probably be 200 basis points. And that's, you know, if you're talking about spreads that were usually, you know, 50 basis points tops, maybe 40 basis points have already blown out to, you know, 150 to 200 basis points. So that market is beginning to erode as well. You know,
I mean,
so
what's their objective here? I mean, don't some of these dealers realize that, you know, that the ultimate end here could be the destruction of the market?
No, the thing, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I that's 100% correct, and from the PGMs, that's what everyone understands. The problem is that a lot of people in the PGMs got their, you know, got caught with their pants down.
Yeah.
And, you know, we weren't in the PGM market. We're just starting to dip our toe into the PGM platinum plating. As a matter of fact, we're just starting this week. But we weren't really fully involved in that last year. Some people lost some serious change on that. You know, much more than you should be being a market maker in platinum as a broker-dealer type person.
Yeah.
And I think that's in the back of everyone's mind with the silver, And so when it started to get borrowed, as the platinum and palladium had, I mean, platinum and palladium went like minus 100 back.
I know. I mean,
there was no metal. And so with that in the back of everyone's mind, they didn't want, you know, everyone was basically very, very afraid of being caught short physical silver. So that's why the forwards have popped into a back short term.
I mean, who do you think's behind Fibro in this shit? Do you think it's Julian Roberts?
It's hard to tell. I think certainly that they have something going on. Whether or not it's all them or not is very difficult.
No, I think a couple other people are joining in with them.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, that it could even be like a person like Mark Rich or something like that from a European standpoint. I'd be surprised if you weren't involved. There are other guys involved. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named David Weil, but he did some stuff as well. Now, I don't know if these names are ringing bells or this or that, but, you know, he's...
Weil, I think I've heard of that before.
He was a guy who got very much involved in the market in 93. Took a lot of silver off the market out of COMEX warehouse stocks. Basically just shipped them down the turnpike and put them in Delaware so as to make it seem like there was a real physical draw off. And really all he was doing was putting it down in Delaware.
Yeah.
So this is similar stuff. So in a sense, I would never tell you, I would never disclose information from a client standpoint, so I'm not disclosing
anything
to you, so just let you understand that. But, you
guys are the one guys that are on, are being rumored to be on my side. We're ganging up on it.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, we've had, you know, some interesting business back and forth. Certainly we did see some, when it popped up that 50 cents in London that day, we did see some kind of Johnny-come-latelys come in, some kind of short-term hedge fundy type guys come in and kind of glom onto it. So they kind of put a long on it between 85 and 95. They have subsequently all been washed out. You know, the other day we went to 40 cent drop.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone who had a core position, I think, cleaned up and said, "Well, this is just a bigger game than me right now, and I'm just going to take a, you know, take a deep breath."
Right.
So now at this point, you know, and we've kind of done a lot of selling along those lines. So I'd say, you know, over the last week or so, we would probably be seen more as a seller than as a buyer in silver, mm-hmm. certainly. I mean, and once this thing starts to rev up, and once the rumor mill, especially in this marketplace, starts to go, it loses its head. It really does. But
I can tell you, the first time I got back from my overseas trip, the first trade I put on was December 30th, right? There was a bid on the floor around 625. I sold that for 500 lots.
Right.
And then that night, it on access with only about 75 lots, it went down under 610, and then it was real selling. It wasn't me.
Right, right.
In fact, I bought 600 at 603 from Prudential,
right.
You know, taking in some profit.
Sure.
And the thing fell like a stone. And it access closed at 5:95, and I was on my way to work, and for that 30 minutes where there's no real supposed trading taking place.
Right, right.
Then it opens up at 5:80. I said, what?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on here? And then that's when I think they decided to attack me with rumors.
Right.
They know I had an account at Revco. Somebody called Revco and said, hey, we just heard Armstrong lost $100 million. He's been long up his ass, and he's puking silver out all over the street, and you guys better be careful.
Right.
Compliance from Revco runs down to the broker and says, hey, we got a problem here. What's going on? He goes, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, I just bought 1,000 on the floor from him. I know he wasn't long.
Yeah.
You know? So Revco got pissed off, and, you know, because of that was the first one.
Yeah.
Then the second one, then I start, you know, getting this shit that, I got a couple people calling me that I owned Republic New York Securities. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, I do not own Republic New York Securities. So they started this shit.
Right.
And then I think what happened was then there was this rumor that you and me were ganging up on them. And that I was going to sue Phibro. And coincidentally, I had been contacted by these attorneys.
Right.
So a journalist from Reuters calls me here, and he says, I hear you're suing Phibro. I said, what the hell's going on here?
Right.
I said, look, I am not suing anybody. I'm not the plaintiff in this case. And here, I thought he got information on that suit from somebody.
Right.
You know, I didn't even think that somebody was now starting a rumor that I was suing Phibro, right? I said, look, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I've been asked to be an expert witness, that's it, I'm not the plaintiff, I'm not doing anything.
Right, right.
And he goes, well, what is this, a class action lawsuit, whatever? I said, you know, yeah, I mean, well, you know, look.
Right.
That's all I know.
Exactly.
He goes off and calls Fred Bogart. Well, no, then he was asking me first, was did I own Republic New York Securities? And I said, no, I do not. That's a wholly owned subsidiary of Republic Bank.
Right, exactly.
And then, are you suing Phibro? And then that shit come out. And then he asked me, am I moving the silver around in the vault and at Republic Bank? I said, look, I have no direct knowledge of this stuff.
Right.
All right? Call them.
Right.
You know, I don't know anything going on at all.
Exactly. You've got a lot bigger things to worry about.
So he calls Fred Bogart, right, after the close that day.
Right.
And, you know, and Fred Bogart ends up telling him, he goes, so what's wrong, you know, so what if somebody owns 10% of all the silver in the world? It ain't illegal to buy silver. Well,
right.
That's not what you tell Reuters.
Right.
Okay.